all of that entertaining and church activity doesn't do the very thing that you probably want to do, right? Which is you want your people to be growing spiritually, right? And so get off, again, get off of that merry-go-round, because it doesn't lead to more spiritual growth. What does, right, is going back to the biblical purpose that God has called the church generally and you specifically to be doing, and do that instead. We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Well, hello, everyone. Hey, Mike Falkenstein here, president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst. And I'm so glad that you're with us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Show. And I am so thrilled for your participation in either the YouTube side where you're watching this episode, or on our podcast side where we just take the audio from this same episode and get it out to the Catalytic Podcast, which is available either on the Android side on Google Podcasts or on the iPhone side on Apple Podcasts. If you want to find out more about 1-8 Catalyst and what we do, of course, I would highly encourage you go to our website at 1-8catalyst.org, where we have a whole bunch of information. Actually, that website will take you to our online training portal at equippingdepot.org, where we have all kinds of resources. And which is a growing catalog of resources. Of course, if you like this episode, please be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and click the bell for notifications so that you get a notification as we develop new episodes. And I'm very excited to have you here, and I'm very excited for this episode. Today on the Catalytic Show, I'm going to talk directly to pastors. And so this show is for pastors and for those who have a pastor of their own, people who have a heart for pastors, who are praying for pastors. You know, here at 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources and deliver training that is a catalyst enabling every Christian to reach their world for Christ. And, you know, as part of what is built into that mission statement really is that we want Christians growing spiritually, because Christians that are growing spiritually want to reach their world for Christ, right? So part of, we've firmly believed really from our inception, and even before that, I've believed that in order for Christians to be growing spiritually, they need to have a good church home and be participating in a church. And we've had a real heart for churches, for pastors. We're regularly praying for pastors. We want to come alongside pastors. We've written book resources for pastors. And so we really do have a heart for pastors. And, you know, pastors, as I mentioned in the last couple of episodes of this show, you know, our pastors in North America are not doing well. And so, Pastor, today, as we talk about you and your ministry, please know that the heart behind this episode is to help. Right? I want to be a big help to you if I can in the future. If there's any way that I can come alongside, if you just need someone to be praying with you, someone to be praying for you, any kind of, you know, consulting or any kind of suggestions, if you just want to bounce ideas off, you know, because I do this full time, I'm creating resources and delivering training that's helping Christians grow spiritually. A big part of that is, well, we want our churches also to be churches that are making disciples that make disciples. And so I would love to come alongside. You know, in the previous couple of episodes, I mentioned The statistics that have come out recently about our pastors in North America. And so I just saved that graphic. You know, I'll just read these again. 70% of our pastors in North America say they have a lower self-esteem now than when they entered ministry. 70% constantly fight depression, which, by the way, we could just sort of dwell on those two stats that both begin with 70%. 70% of our pastors have a lower self-esteem and are fighting depression. 50% of our pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave their ministry if they could, but they don't feel they could find a new job. 80% believe their pastoral ministry has negatively affected their families, and 33% have said that it's an outright hazard. I want to just kind of pause there for a minute. I'm going to leave the stats on the screen for those of you that are watching this on YouTube and just kind of talk through this just a little. I mean, it's really surprising to me how poorly our pastors are doing. And so number one, pastors, if you're watching, please know we're praying for you. And again, as I just mentioned, I really do want to help you. The question then, as we look at these statistics, at least my first question, I may have several questions, but one of them is, why are pastors doing so poorly? And it's an important question because pastors, people who become pastors because clearly they feel like God has called them to become pastors, right? As I mentioned all the time, men who are pastors could have done any number of things with their lives. I mean, particularly pastors who are good pastors, who are good at their job, you could say, hey, they could have done just about anything that they wanted to do. They could have, you know, become a salesman or architect or doctor, or, you know, these are smart, bright people who could have chosen to do any number of things. And yet they really felt like God was calling them to become a pastor. And I'm assuming we could say pastor, especially if you're one of the 70%, the 50%, the 80% that we see in these stats, that you did not get into this to have a lower self-esteem or become depressed or, you know, feel like you would want to leave your ministry or that the ministry would become an outright hazard to your family and your personal and emotional well-being, right? And so the question then has to be, well, maybe there's two parts. One is a question, which is why are pastors doing so poorly? Number two then would be, what do we do about it? Because, you know, if you do have a heart, obviously if you are a pastor that is struggling with depression or low self-esteem or so forth and so on, right? You don't want to be doing that anymore. I'm sure you want to be happy and fulfilled and, you know, doing well in your ministry and in your life, right? And obviously for people like me who are not pastors but have a heart for pastors, I want you to be, you know, so enthralled with your ministry because of what God is doing and so invested and all in on this thing, because you're thinking, man, God is just so at work and doing so many things. And so the next part of that is, what do we do to get you there? And what do you do? How do you do some level of self-care, right, to be able to do that? So let me just take both of those. First, as to why is it that I believe that, you know, pastors are doing so poorly? There's a lot to be said, but at least at the 30,000 foot level, I would say, you know, pastors generally, I think, in North America may just be focusing on some of the wrong things, right? The wrong goals, the wrong purposes. Far too often in our churches, you know, I think, and this is not a critique, I'll explain what I'm just going to say here in a minute. So pastors, you know, stay with me on this, but far too many elders and pastors have made a deal with their people, sometimes unwittingly made this deal with their people. I don't know that it's always or even often a intentional deal that they've made with their people and their congregation, which says, if you'll give us enough money to keep the lights on and keep programs going, these fun programs and all these fun things, we won't ask much of you. And together we'll say that we're doing everything that God wants us to be doing. And so, you know, if the goal, for example, is to keep people attending, and, you know, at least in, as a side note, I kind of understand that. I mean, I'm in full-time ministry. I've got to raise the money to do what I do. And so a lot of times pastors get into this thing of, we need enough people to be coming so that I can continue to make a living, and you're thinking of your family and how to provide. And so not all of this is, you know, malevolent by any stretch, but if the goal is to keep people attending, that's just a merry-go-round, y'all, that you're just never going to get off of. And some of you may be familiar with a colleague of mine, a guy by the name of Todd Wagner. Until about a year and a half ago, he was the senior pastor at a church called Watermark Community Church in Dallas, North Dallas. And he wrote a book, and I would highly recommend that you get a copy. I'm going to recommend two books altogether in this episode. And so I would certainly recommend Todd's book. It's called Come and See Everything You Wanted in the One Place You Would Never Look. And it has an excellent illustration about what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to give you the illustration, but just quickly, let me recommend his book, because if any of this is hitting with you and you feel like, yeah, I'm on this merry-go-round where, you know, I'm just trying to get people to come, and, you know, you're trying to do more entertaining and all of that, I would just recommend Todd's book is excellent to kind of help you get on the track of, you know, what I'm talking about in this episode. So pick up a copy for yourself. But, you know, he does have an excellent illustration about this, and I'm just going to read it. He states that people select churches in North America much like they would a cruise ship. Whether consciously or otherwise, they ask certain questions that reveal their expectations. Do I like the music in the ballroom? Do I like the captain and his staff? Do I get good service? Is it pleasant and comfortable? Do I like the experience enough to sail with them again? And, you know, pastors, if the primary purpose of the church is to please Christians, it allows Christians to choose the feature that are most pleasing to them. And it allows many Christians to choose the features, that are most pleasing to them. And it allows many Christians to float through their church experience, being mostly satisfied with the amenities of a particular church, and it saps their zeal for the reaching of the lost and being involved in God's great commission. And so, you know, if that is how things have played out in your church, I can see why so many of you are depressed, why so many of you fight depression, why you're discouraged, why you feel like you'd rather do something else. Because, you know, really at the core, I know that is not why you got into ministry. You did not get into ministry to just try to please people and try to give them a good experience and fantastic carpet on the floors and, you know, fancy lighting and smoke machines and, you know, and you may not be doing any of that, but you get my point, right? That, you know, you did not get into the ministry for that purpose. I'm sure you had a heart. You wanted to see people growing and to become more like Christ. And so my suggestion to you is to just stop all of that, right? Stop pleasing people. Stop worrying whether or not people are going to attend. Because actually, it turns out, we do have a God who is in control of all of this, right? And he's going to be the one who will determine if you're a church of 50 adults or 70 or 100 or 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 or whatever, right? And so let's determine right now, we're just going to give attendance and the financial well-being of the church to God. We're just going to give that to him, and we're not going to worry about that anymore. And we're going to focus instead on the biblical purpose of the local church and the biblical responsibilities that you have as an elder. And you can see that if the goal is to fulfill the biblical purpose of the church, that's very life-giving. And the pastors won't, you won't be doing so poorly in your emotional and physical well-being when you're just doing what God wants you to do anyway, because we can trust that, you know, God's got it all under control, and he's gonna care for you. And, you know, actually, it turns out doing the things that God has asked us to do through his word, he's gonna bless those things, right? And so I think that's the most surprising thing as I talk to pastors about this, is simply that they feel like if they focus more on biblical obedience, and I'll explain that in quite a bit of detail here in just a minute, but if they focus on biblical obedience, both of themselves and of their church, that they're gonna lose people. But actually, it turns out that people have this Jesus-sized hole in their hearts, right? And so when they become fully devoted disciples of Jesus through your ministry, not only will they attend, but they're active. They're doing everything that you're hoping that you would want, everything that you would want from a congregation, right? So let me do two things. We'll kind of tie this all together. Let me look at the, let's look first, and I've had this graphic before, on the biblical purpose of the local church. And this is something that I wrote 4 or 5 years ago, taken exclusively from scripture, because what we want to do now is we want to kind of look at, instead of the merry-go-round, what is it that I'm hoping I can counsel you to be doing actually what you ought to be doing, which then makes those stats irrelevant, because you're going to be doing great. You're going to be fulfilled, and you're going to see God at work, and you're going to be just on it. And it's not to say that there's no stressors in that type of a church situation, but it certainly changes quite a bit, right? So the biblical purpose of the local church is to glorify God by worshiping him, by edifying his people, by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to the whole world, and making disciples through the baptizing and teaching of new believers. Now, if you know your Bible at all, and I'm sure as a pastor you do, you're going to see pretty quickly that this just is, you know, completely comes from the Bible. And so I'll give you just a couple of references if you want to just do a little study. Obviously, saying that the biblical purpose of the local church is to glorify God, which we see as a command in 1 Peter chapter 2:12, by worshiping him, go through the book of Psalms, right? By edifying his people, we see in Ephesians 4:15 and 16, by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to the whole world, Mark 16:15. And so one of the commands that Jesus gives to his followers, and then of course, making disciples through the baptizing and teaching of new believers, that we see in Matthew 28, right? This main passage of what we would call the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them as you go along. And so I'm gonna then keep this on the screen for those that are watching on YouTube. And we're gonna look at the, let's see, okay, here it is. We're gonna look at the biblical responsibilities of an elder. And the I just wrote this definition recently because I wanted to sort of look at for myself as I'm talking to pastors and people about this, what really is the biblical responsibilities of an elder. And so you know these passages well, right? There are really three main passages in scripture that talk about, you know, that really talk about what the biblical responsibilities of an elder are. We've got Acts 20:28. Really my favorite in Hebrews 13, verse 17, and then 1 Peter 5, you could just go, I think it's verses 1 through 3. You might go to 1 through 5 just, for kicks. So those are the three passages that I used for this. So let's look at this. The biblical responsibility of an elder is to shepherd, guide, and provide oversight to the congregation God has allowed them to oversee, caring for the congregation in a manner that is not domineering or for personal gain, being godly examples to the flock, this shepherding and oversight is done carefully, since all the elders will one day answer to God as to how they did in this role. And of course, if you know this Hebrews 13 passage that I mentioned, you see where I got this last half of a sentence, that the shepherding and oversight should be done carefully, since all the elders will one day answer to God as how they did in this role. And, you know, the passage in Hebrews 13 really mentions actually keeping watch over the souls of the congregation, as though you'll have to give an account. And in Greek, that account is sort of like a, you know, like a speech. You'll have to one day give a speech as to, you know, how you've done there. So we kind of take these two definitions. The purpose in this is to be able to then say, okay, if it's not to entertain and keep people there and whatnot, what should you be doing in your ministry then, right? And so obviously in neither of these definitions, biblical definitions, do you see anything about entertaining the congregation or providing, you know, a bowling alley or any kind of other frivolous activities. And I'm gonna get back to this in a minute. There, you can do certain activities, obviously, but only if they help you to fulfill the biblical responsibilities that you have as a pastor, right? So what I see here is, in terms of practical advice that I would give you, you know, how do you as a pastor actually fulfill both the biblical purpose of your local church and the biblical responsibilities that you have as an elder? And I've just got three quick things for you, okay? Obviously, number one would be provide oversight by training your people toward godliness, right? We see in the biblical responsibilities of the church that we're glorifying God through the edifying of his people. This edifying, as I'm sure you already know, is essentially just equipping, you know, equipping them. So these are things like equipping them how to share the gospel and how to make disciples. You know, I mention that because, you know, so few, the statistics indicate that so few evangelical Christians in our churches today know how to do that. And yet it's a direct command that Jesus gives to all his followers. And so if you have a responsibility in oversight and guidance and shepherding, you know, you want to make sure that all your people know how to do that, right? You want to make sure that all your people know how to be a fully devoted disciple of Jesus, right? How to have what we call a quiet time, and how to study God's word, and how to be able to then apply it to their lives, and, you know, how to live a life fully on fire for Jesus and to be a godly witness to the world. And a lot of being able to provide this oversight through the training, not only is this, yes, we're going to have classes every 3 months, so we make sure to know how to do that. But I'm going to talk about here in a minute about creating a church environment where people are growing in community. And a lot of this training can actually happen in this community, where, you know, you have a community group that people are involved in, where they're being challenged to be a fully devoted disciple, that where sin is rampant, right, their community is really calling that out and pointing them back towards godliness, right? In order to be able to fulfill these two responsibilities, obviously, number two, we want our people to, you know, we want to be, and for you as a pastor, you want to be a godly example to your flock by obeying the Bible and the commands of Jesus Christ yourself, and demanding it in all areas of, you know, of all your people. And this one's important because obviously a congregation is not going to do anything that you're not already doing yourself, right? If you're not sharing the gospel, they probably won't either. They're going to be, they watch you carefully and what you do and what you spend time doing, right? So being a godly example to your flock by obeying the Bible and the commands of Jesus yourself, then you're able to demand it in all areas and of all people in your church. And this kind of runs the gamut from being a, you know, really setting a stage so that you and the other elders are creating an environment in your church where, hey, if the Bible says it, we're going to do it, right? We're going to be a church that knows God's word, that knows that it's the full authority of God behind it. And we expect you, congregation, to do the same. Because obviously at the end of the day, what you're wanting to do is for your people and your congregation to be more Christ-like, right? Well, obviously the way that we become more Christ-like after a process of accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing and receiving him as your Lord and Savior, is then to live that out. And obviously you live that out. They're going to live it out even better if they're seeing you live it out. Right? You're not going to ask someone to do something that you're not already doing. And then finally, as I mentioned before, you really do want to create a church environment where people are growing in community. I said I had two book resources I was going to recommend. Obviously, Todd Wagner's book is one. I've written a book for our ministry, another book resource. So the book is called Keeping Watch Over Souls, a book on the six marks of a church that makes disciples. And so this is really meant for you and your elders to go through together. Obviously, one of the biblical responsibilities, the biblical purposes of the local church is to be a church that is glorifying God by making disciples of new believers. This is a book that can help you with that. And I mention it not only because it's one of our resources, but I think probably one of the best chapters in here is the chapter on, one of the six marks of a disciple of Jesus is, you know, how to use community in your congregation to be a church that is making disciples, that makes disciples. And so these are community groups that are meeting weekly, you know, that have kind of both authenticity and accountability kind of built into them. And, you know, I think our natural tendency in churches in North America is that we think we need to offer more ministries and more programs to encourage more steps of spiritual foundation. But, you know, there's a article, and I'll provide the link in the description. But I think that's actually faulty thinking. There's an article by a guy, Tony Morgan, that someone actually just happened to pass on to me. And he's with a ministry called the Unstuck Group. And actually they counsel churches in these very areas on how to become churches that are more effective at, you know, being a biblical church. And I'll just read to you this quote from this article, the research that they did. Over 500,000 church attenders from more than 2,000 churches participated in something called the Reveal Study, the Reveal Survey. And I went back and looked a number of years ago, Willow Creek in Chicago area, Chicagoland, as they say, created this study they called the Reveal Survey, which gives a clearer picture of how people take steps towards Christ. The data specifically found increased church activity does not lead to spiritual growth. And I want you to really hear that, Pastor, that increased church activity does not lead to spiritual growth. And so let's just sort of blow that out a little bit more into your own church situation. Your attempt at increased church activity, which, by the way, is what is creating depression and the other problems that that pastors are having, right? Again, if it's all about the program, and you know, you are not a program manager. You know, you are called to be a overseer of the congregation, providing oversight, shepherding, not entertaining. And by the way, all of that entertaining and church activity doesn't do the very thing that you probably want to do, right? Which is, you want your people to be growing spiritually, right? And so get off of that that merry-go-round, because it doesn't lead to more spiritual growth. What does, right, is going back to the biblical purpose that God has called the church generally and you specifically to be doing, and do that instead. And don't worry again about, you know, calling people to a higher standard. You know, as in this book on the six marks of a church that makes disciples, you know, I kind of counsel elders through this quite a bit, because I think the idea, particularly with, you know, focusing more on spiritual growth through community, where a community group is meeting weekly, the husbands and wives, or the people are the men and women in these churches then are also meeting at a separate time, holding each other accountable. You know, you said you've had this sin issue. I'm praying for you. We go back to scripture and deal with it there and see victory. And, you know, I mean, that's actually this hands-on approach where people are in community and are actually, you know, invested in each other's lives is actually what leads to more spiritual growth, right? And we see that, by the way, through the book of Acts in the early church. I mean, they were, you know, involved intimately. The early Christians were intimately involved in each other's lives. And I think that's a pattern and a method that we could use in our own churches. So the many pastors and many elders think, though, man, we're just going to lose people. And I'm here to tell you, if you do it right and you do it biblical, that doesn't have to be the case, right? So I hope this episode has been a help. Please know that, again, I'm happy to help in any way that I can with this process for you, pastor. Please know I'm praying for you as a pastor, and I am so thrilled to be able to talk to you directly. Please contact me again through our website at 1acatalyst.org. We've got a contact us page. You can get to us there. I would love to talk to you about more about this, and I really hope this is a help. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'll look forward to seeing you all on the next episode of The Catalytic Show. Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of The Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 1acatalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.